And gentlemen, thank you for being with us tonight. We've hesitated a little bit in starting our meeting. We're waiting for Mr. Bobby Bowers, but we're not going to wait anymore. He'll be here, we hope, from Columbia, who works with redistricting a lot. That's a big part of his job up there, and so he might show up at any minute, but we'll go ahead. Mr. Holly's here, who's done a wonderful job for us over the years when we get into these issues. But as we start our meeting, this is a special meeting, one subject. Let's start with our council prayer and pledge of allegiance.
Let us pray. Almighty God, as we do the important business of the city, infuse us with civility, grant us patience, show our way to equality, keep us impartial and fair, as you shepherd us with your guiding hand. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you for that. Mr. Pierce, would you start us off on the first item here, please?
Mayor, thank you very much. As we discussed at the May 23rd meeting, as part of our proposed schedule for redistricting review for city council seats, we wanted to hold this public hearing tonight to not only have information shared with us about redistricting, and Mr. Bowers is entering the room at this moment, Mr. Mayor, so he is here and has a presentation for us. Before we get to Mr. Bowers, I do want to put into the record the resolution that was passed by City Council, because Council at the May 23rd meeting did set forth the parameters under which you would conduct your redistricting review. Number one, City Council districts shall be relatively equal in total population according to the 2010 federal census to adhere to the constitutional requirement of one person, one vote. Two, City Council districts shall be drawn to conform to the requirements of the 1965 Voting Rights Act as amended, implementing regulations and controlling court decisions. Three, City Council districts and any process for revising them shall conform to South Carolina law. Four, consistent with the Voting Rights Act and such implementing regulations and controlling court decisions, factors to be considered in drawing the City Council districts shall include such districts being contiguous, respectful of communities of interest, and maintaining neighborhoods, constituent consistency, and voting precincts. And five, to these ends, City Council shall solicit public input to help ensure that City of Aiken residents are aware of the redistricting process. That's the reason for tonight's meeting, and I would like to put in the record, Mayor, that Channel 6, 12, and 26 have announced tonight's meeting and had feature pieces about the redistricting process by Aiken City Council. The Aiken Standard has had two feature articles. We also placed a legal ad in the paper about tonight's meeting, and the city actually has Facebook and Twitter accounts, so we did post that at Facebook, and we tweeted on Twitter about tonight's meeting. We also have for our neighborhood leaders a calling post phone call system, and those calls went out last night. So we've tried to give this, of course we posted it downstairs in the display case in City Hall. So we've tried to put as much word out as we can about tonight's meeting, because public input is certainly a key component any time that we undertake redistricting, and as we had the discussions back in 2002 and 2003 about the 421 plan that is our existing city council districting scheme at this time. Without any further delay, I would like to ask Mr. Holly to come up to the microphone and introduce our special guest tonight, who really doesn't need introduction since he's a national expert on redistricting. We're glad to have you with us.
Mr. Mayor and Council, it's a pleasure to be with you again tonight and with the citizens here. Mr. Bowers was in the legislature today. He wears many hats for the Budget Control Board. Some of them voluntary, some of them involuntary. But he has been the state demographer who's worked on redistricting since at least the 80s in South Carolina at all levels of government, as well as in other states, consulting with other states. And Bobby and I have worked a number of times, both when I was in the Attorney General's office and since then. And it's a pleasure for him to be here. He comes at no charge other than mileage.
Okay.
So you're getting a good deal.
Okay, thank you, Jim. Yeah, we certainly do appreciate you being here, Mr. Ballard.
I apologize for being a little late, but they were discussing
restructuring. Helped us so much in the past, and we appreciate your help this time.
I didn't know if I was going to be in a job tomorrow or not when they start restructuring, so I had to kind of stand wait till they kill the bill. And then I didn't get the blue light special coming over here. What I'm going to do is a little bit brag on Aiken City and Ada County just a little bit before I go into the other. In 2000, South Carolina had the second lowest response rate in the nation in returning the census form. We were only ahead of the state of Alaska. I mean, that's how bad we were in returning the census form. My friend Dan Cooper and the legislature put money in the budget, and we had a great coalition of cities and counties and COGS. We had the Municipal Association, the County Association, with training session on address listing. We actually went through the program, and when it all got tabulated, we either corrected or added over 1 million address listings that the Census Bureau did not have correct. And as a result of that, we had the second tied for the highest increase in the response rate in the nation. In fact, they've used our program as a prototype of what should be done. So that's why I got to brag a little bit about the state. Not only are we going to get a seventh congressional seat out of all that work, but we're going to get, I would project, between $2 and $3 billion more in federal entitlement money, not stimulus money, over the next decade. I think we lost between $1.5 billion and $2 billion over this past decade because of a very significant undercount in the census. Brookings Institute estimates if every person missed, we lose $1,200. My people say it's closer to $1,600 to $1,800 per person per year. So if you figure they missed 150,000 people, which I figure they missed at least that many, that multiplies out to a lot of money for the state. So it was a good investment. In Aiken's camp, the city had a response rate in 2000 of 64%, which was way ahead of the state. In 2010, your response rate had increased to 79%.
Very good.
Phenomenal on the city's response rate. The county had a response rate of 68%, and it went to 76%. So you can pat yourself on the back for your citizen doing a great job of getting you counted, which I think will be a tremendous amount of asset to the cities and counties and the state in federal entitlement money. The federal government distributes between $400 and $500 billion a year based totally on census data. So you begin to see how important a census count is. Now, let me get to the at hand. I'm gonna congratulate you, first of all, on adopting the criteria. Because one of the first things that's going to happen is somebody, if you go to court or the Justice Department, ask you, did you fashion your plan according to a set of criteria? So that's when I sent them to Jim. I said, you need to get a set of criteria adopted so when that question is asked, you can say yes. And, of course, you had a number of criteria. The first three criteria are, of course, the overriding criteria. The first one, the constitutional requirement of one person, one vote, is the most important. And show you how important that is, when the federal court drew the plan this past decade, because I was with the federal court and drew it, the present six congressional districts only vary by one person. That's how close they drew it, 668,669 people. And we were told specifically, see how close you can get it to perfection. We were off by just a couple people. We couldn't figure out who to cut in half. And since I was drawing it, it was not going to be me, I promise you. But that's how tight they do it. So that is the first criteria. In a county's case, it's got to be under 10. We're recommending it to be well under 10, 2 to 3%. Because if somebody should sue you and they come in court with a deviation lower than your deviation and they got the same other criteria, guess which plan the court's going to take? The one that most closely meets the one person, one vote concept, which means the nearest equal district. The second one is the voting rights requirement of 1965, which has been extended to the year 2032. I laugh and refer to that as the lawyers and demographers retirement fund, because they're going to have to always have lawyers to bring the suit, and they got to have some nut like me to figure out how to work the plan. And so that is a criteria. Now, what that means is you cannot adopt a plan that intentionally, by policy, reduces the choices and chances of minorities to be selected to the council. That means if you got a particular plan with minority population, you cannot enact a plan that by policy reduces that. That's called retrogression. That's a big term that the Justice Department likes to use. They call it retrogression when you do that. Now, let me say, they usually don't like to hear me say this, but there are two types of retrogression. That is a policy retrogression, where when you adopt a plan that intentionally lowers that opportunity, that's policy. But there's another retrogression called natural retrogression, where population growth and population shifts changes to the point that you cannot draw minority districts to the extent that they were in the present plan. The third one is contiguousness. That means each of the piece of districts must be contiguous or must touch. Now, I know, you know you're going to look at some plans in Aiken because of the vast majority of unincorporated places you've got. Looks like they're not contiguous. But you can have contiguity through unincorporated areas. In the lower part of the state, they got contiguity through water bodies. They got contiguity through marshland, and because that's the only way you can keep them contiguous. In terms of drawing a plan, the first thing you do is prepare a benchmark plan. Forget what you had based on the 2010 census. The benchmark plan is your present plan with the 2010 data involved in it. So that is the plan that you're going to be judged against. That's the plan that you look at the deviation, which is plus or minus, and you look at the percent minorities in those districts. The deviation, total deviation, is calculated by taking your largest positive, which means you got too many people in the district, and your largest negative, which means you got too few, and add them together without their algebraic sign. That's the absolute value. If you got a plus 4 and a minus 5, your deviation is 9. So when we construct your benchmark plan with your four districts, your total deviation now is 53.84%. District 1 has a deviation of 13, and you probably got that pad, so 13.03, which means there are 962 people short of population. District 2 has a deviation of 16.69%, which means they're shy of 1,232 population. District 3 is still shy. It's shy by 11.08%, which means it's 818 people short. Then we get to District 4. It is 40.81%, too high. That's the only district that has had an increase in population over the mean. It's got 3,012 people too many. So when you look at District 4, that population has got to be dispersed among those four districts so that each one of them has, say, 2 to 3% of 7,381 people. So you begin to see the problem. Now, another problem you've got is the two minority districts. District 1 has a negative deviation, and District 2 has a negative deviation, 13.03 and 16.69. It's going to be very difficult to maintain those two districts above the percentage that you've got there. District 1, according to this benchmark, is 53.42%, and you'll notice it is NHB. That's non-Hispanic black. In terms of the Justice Department, this term, they're not, the minority is not just the black or African-American population. It is the non-Hispanic African-American population. That means black population plus black-white population mix. That's what they're using as the benchmark. District 2 is at a percentage of 55.67. That has a, and both of them has a voting age population, District 1 of less than 50%, and District 2 at 5205. Your challenge is going to be keeping the districts contiguous, keeping your deviation, let's say 2 to 3, maybe even 4%, and to try to maintain the two minority districts without any retrogression. I will tell you without any hesitation, it will not only probably be difficult, but it will be almost impossible, because the population you're dropping in there is out of a district that only has 10, 11% non-Hispanic black population. And when you shift that population up into District 1 and 2, you're going to diminish the minority percentage in those two districts. As far as contiguousness, I tell you how important it is. I was in a case in Georgia, and a young girl there was from Minnesota who was drawing the plan, and first mistake she made, I was on the witness stand, she didn't know that Georgia was under the Voting Rights Act, which meant it had to be pre-cleared by the Justice Department. Second critical mistake she made was she didn't know the definition of the word contiguous. And so she had one blob of population in the middle and five disjointed populations around. I refer to that as a measles district. The judge liked that, and he said, I'm going to write it down so I can remember it. Of course, we won the case on the basis of it was a non-germane plan. So your problem is, your challenge is going to be somehow to construct a plan with a lower deviation, much lower than 53.84%, trying to maintain minority districts as close as you can to affecting minorities' opportunity to select candidates of a choice and maintain some contiguousness. You're meeting one of the criteria tonight. This is a public meeting. That's one of your first public meetings. So what the next plan to be doing is to take these districts and make a decision as to whether you're going to adjust these districts or change your method of election in some fashion. I'm going to stop at that point. That's a lot to throw at the public. Most of them have not seen redistricting before. And see if you've got any questions, I'd be glad to try to answer them.
Bobby, you're going to talk about the possibility of a 6-1?
I think you're going to do that.
Jim?
I think Jim's going to do that. We did fashion one. Now, let me say this. There is no pride of authorship on this plan. What we were attempting to do to see if you can draw a 6-member plan, and if you can protect your incumbents and increase the minority opportunity. Let me tell you, one of the criteria that you read in there was constituency consistency. Now, I guarantee you, even though some of you have been through the redistricting, you don't know what that means. That means that each of your constituents has got some right to expect some consistency of who represents them, and each of you has got some right to expect some consistency of who you represent. Judge Haynesworth saw me after I was coined that phrase in federal court, and he said, Bobby, that's a pretty slick way of saying separate the incumbents, isn't it? I said, that's exactly what it said, because the courts, federal courts, have ruled that it is perfectly legitimate to separate the incumbents so long as it does not adversely affect the Voting Rights Act or does not adversely affect the one person, one vote constitutional requirement. Let's face it, four, you got to vote on the plan to be happy. And when I go out of state, I always like to have 4 out of 7 votes, because that's how much it takes to get me paid for a leave. So I think we got to have at least 4 of you happy when we finish the plan. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd like to ask counsel, do you want to hear some talk now, discussion on the 6-1?
No, I've got some questions.
Okay.
I didn't understand you said the number 53.84%. And I didn't understand where that came from. That was one of several.
That came from adding the positive 40.81% and the negative 13.03%.
Okay.
That's the total deviation in your plan at this time.
1 and 4.
Yeah, total deviation.
Okay. And that's how we get to the 53.84.
Right.
Now, should council have a benchmark plan with the best faith effort to spread the new numbers throughout the 4 districts? Or, I mean, I get the impression from what you said that you're not very confident that it's a productive effort.
Be very difficult, if not impossible, to maintain 2 minority districts with that 4-member plan, with the numbers you've got. I'm very candid up front.
Okay.
Sometimes I get paid to be the grim reaper and tell them what you can't do.
Well, let me ask a question then. You say it's almost impossible. Is it possible?
To what?
To do that. Is it possible
no.
to maintain two?
No. You cannot, because you got 3,000 people,
yeah,
mostly non-African American, that you've got to spread around those 3 districts. And by the time you dump 1,232 people, non-African American, in the District 2, you have just blown the minority percentage down, way down. And that's why I call natural retrogression. The best example of that is in Hilton Head Island. I worked with them to get incorporated. They had a 5-1-1 plan, 5 single-member districts, 1 at large, and the mayor at large. And after the 1990 census, you could not draw 1 out of 5. So they had a referendum and went to 6 single-member districts, and we could draw 1 out of 6. After 2000, you could not draw 1 out of 6. They wanted to see what you could do with 6, and they finally passed a plan. I believe it was like 38% minority. That's the best we could do, and that's what they submitted, and Justice had to approve it, because that was what we call natural retrogression.
Which is the more important number, the total population or the voting age population?
Both. Justice Department is going to review four things. They're going to review your total population by race, the voting age population by race, registered voters by race, and we are one of about two or three states that have registered voters by race. And then they're going to look at participation by race. By that means what you should be having Stuart, or whoever, Stuart's still in it, legislate race day guy.
He's
here. Is he here?
We better start
having Stuart get the results of all the elections since the last redistricting.
Well, Bobby, we made him. We made him assistant city manager.
But he still needs to do it. That'll keep him out of trouble. But you've got to submit all that, and you might as well do that, because here's the reason for that. Once you pass a plan with your two ordinances and it goes to justice, they've got 60 days to review it. Now, you'll notice they do not say they have approved the plan. What they say is they have pre-cleared it. If you look at the last letter, it says, although we have pre-cleared this plan, if we should find in the future that discriminatory effect or intent, we will reopen it and file suit. So you need to look at it in that capacity. Now, also in terms of the whole process, they're going to look at how many minorities you have had in an election since the last election, since the last redistricting. And they'll look at that. And they will make a determination on all those factors as to whether or not to pre-clear your plan. Now, if they should ask, even on the 59th day, for additional information, they've got 60 more days after they get the additional information to review the plan. And we've had some of that happen. We had some. I called them one time just using the 59th day to ask for additional information and hadn't even reviewed the plan. So they were quite embarrassed when I was in Washington and made them admit that before the Attorney General. They said, how did you know that? I said, cause I wrote a bunch of crap in there just to see if you'd read it. And they hadn't even seen it. Didn't even know it was there. So we were just testing to see if they'd review the plan. But that's why you need to move on, move cautiously, and get on with everything you need in a plan. You want it to be as complete a package as possible.
Mr. Bowers, if we change the system of government from the 4-2-1, of course, it's required to go to a referendum. And I think this possibly happened back in 1992 when there was the 5-1-1 plan submitted to the voters, cleared by the DOJ, submitted to the voters, and then the referendum did not pass.
David, what you got?
It was 2002.
I'm sorry. Yep. If we submit this, hopefully the 6-1 would pass, but if it did not, then
the best you can with what you got.
We would have to go back to the 4-2-1.
What you got.
And try to rework that as best we could and resubmit to the DOJ.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
You mentioned four pieces of data, two of which we have. We don't have the registered voter data. At least council doesn't know. I'm sure it exists. And the other that you, I think, mentioned was percentage of votes.
That's in since the voting cast since the last redistricting. That would be every election, every two-year cycle you've got, you need to get those results. Of the
election. Is that important for us to have in the council to try to resolve?
But justice is going to have to have it. Justice will have it. I don't see a problem with that because you've had two minorities on council since how long has it been?
Since 1987.
Yeah, I thought so. So that would not be a problem. You've had two minorities elected to council since, 1987?
Mm-hmm.
And so that should not be a problem. But they're still going to look at that.
Is there a minority percentage of total votes or voting age minority that would indicate a natural regression?
Well, if you look at the plan, you've got 53.42. Less than that is regression, retrogression. The next district, 55-67, less than that is retrogression. So what I'm telling you is when you dump 3,000 non-African Americans in those districts, the population percentage is going to drop not only in total, but it's going to drop in voting age very significantly.
But that's because of an effect of the total population.
That's correct. But it will also drop the voting age population very significantly. If you'll notice, the voting age population in District 1 is not quite 5% less than the total population. That means you got a pretty pretty young number of African Americans in that district.
You mean with 2010 numbers?
Yep.
Were you going from 6419 to 4604?
You go from what? Now you go from 5342 to 4874 in one, and you go from 5567 to 5205. In both cases, you get about 3.5-4% drop between total population and voting age population in the 2010 data.
Question. They've got all these statistics on the individuals. Do they consider that the voting age population is going to be increasing? The whole procedure is going to take about 18 months, I would venture.
They're looking at a one point in time, April 1, 2010 census.
So,
if you've got annexation after that or whatever change you got, they're looking at these numbers.
So it's a stat.
Unless you have an annexation that we can figure out how many people are in there to add to it after the fact. And we found some problems in the census data. We found two blocks, and I know Jim knows right where I'm talking about, as you go on 77 under the Jim Clyburn Bridge, both those sides of low-income housing, they put a zero in there. They didn't count a soul in those two places. We're estimating 500 or 600 people in those two blocks. We also found several prisons assigned to the wrong census block, one in Bentonville and one in Turbeville. So we're having to make some adjustments.
I want to revisit the information that has to go to the Justice Department relative to the last few elections since the last census.
You want to put down who ran and their race in each one of them.
There were times when we didn't even have an election because there were no oppositions.
You show that too.
Okay.
You show that too. You would show the existing council that did not have opposition in that file. I'm just trying to get you where your file is complete so they don't ask for additional information.
Okay.
Bobby, population growth has gone very well in Aiken. It took a while for the north side of Aiken to develop, and that's for many, many reasons in terms of infrastructure improvement, so forth, right. That Aiken, the north side, would look attractive enough for people to either remain over on the north side or build homes. The south side has had a huge influx of population, and largely based on the statistics we have in one area, that's the Woodside area, which has a huge population. Whenever there is annexation, the Justice Department would call the minority population, the minority elected official to Aiken, and ask when there was an annexation that came before council, as a minority, do you support this annexation with these folks moving in? And certainly, for the growth and for people to move in, we have said we voted yes to annex these properties. Annexation has caused this population growth. What problems do we face right now with saying that we support these folks to annex into the city in the Woodside area, to be very specific, which has caused this growth, and now we are faced with this?
You can only present the fact that you have supported that. And then you take whatever steps you need to and can take to bring some equity into the council.
Okay.
I had to go to Charleston, and in 2000, Charleston had 6 African Americans out of 12 on city council. When I left, they could only support 5 of them. I was down there about 4 weeks ago, and that's what I said to Grim Reaper. There was not enough information that we had. We could only support 3 of the 5. Mm-hmm. So they're going to drop from 5 to 3 African-Americans. And one of them said, can we spread that African-American population over all 5? I said, sure, you can do that. But what you're going to do, you're going to put all 5 of them at risk. And you may wind up with no African-Americans on city council. And they passed their plan this past week with a unanimous vote, I was told, by the lawyer. So they've already passed theirs, getting the package ready to go to Justice Department, and they're dropping from 5 to 3 because of the retrogression they've had. Their minority population dropped from 34% to 25% over the decade. And you can't do anything about that.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot do anything. But you're right. Your annexations make a difference, and they approved the annexation.
Mm-hmm.
In the case of Rock Hill years ago, Rock Hill had a major annexation. and Justice would not approve the annexation. They had a 3-3-1 plan, three members at single member district, three at large, and the mayor at large. And they would not approve annexation. So I think I went with the whole council, the mayor, the lawyer, the administrator, everybody. We flew to Washington. And the chief of the voting rights section banged his fist on the table and said, "You don't understand. We don't care if you provide them services. We don't care if you tax them, but you can't let them vote." And you know, me and me, embarrassed the fellow I am, I said, "Well, I thought we throw tea on the harbor, in the harbor over that years ago." Brad Reynolds, chief of voting, was the only one that didn't laugh. But then he realized I didn't care. Mm-hmm. Didn't matter. But they went to a straight six-member plan after that, because I'd have been to Rock Hill mm-hmm. already this year. They had a referendum and went from 3-3-1 to 6-0-1.
In a situation such as we have with Woodside growing, as it has in the last 10 years, should we have redistricted 2 or 3 years ago when to see that imbalance?
If you redistricted 2 or 3 years ago, you'd have been using 2,000 census data, which wouldn't have done you any good.
You can only redistrict using census data. You can't redistrict using actual data.
That's right.
So if you get a community that's out of whack in year 3 or 4, they stay out of whack until the next census.
Probably out of whack already.
Yeah.
But
okay.
You're going to use the most recent decennial census data, because that's what Justice Department is going to use to judge you by. And if it goes to court, that's what the court's going to use.
Okay.
Don't tell me about Woodside. I stayed lost in there one night for 30 minutes trying to get back home from my great niece's wedding. Every car I followed went into some cul-de-sac home. In fact, my wife drove from Newberry back home before I drove from here back to Lexington. Other questions?
Just for the record, what's the population in Woodside doing that? Just in the Woodside community?
I don't have that one now. I got the district.
We just got the District 4 total.
I got District 4, 10,393.
Yeah. That includes Jim Lakes.
Yep. Not all of your people are in Woodside.
No.
He's got some people outside.
It can be determined, but I was not expecting that mm-hmm. question. So
I just wondered.
If I was expecting that question using our GIS system, I could have determined that.
I think it would be appropriate if you need the data to get the right data. I can give you an approximate amount, what it was 24 months ago, how many people and how many were voting households. I don't know voting age. Because I mailed out a lot of letters, and I'll tell you how many households voted, but not how many voters. So I think it'd be appropriate to get the right voting age, because mm-hmm. the numbers I'll give you won't give you a very good...
I just thought I'd ask the question.
No, but he can get the data for it.
We can certainly get it for you. That'd be fine.
It's on the voter vault.
Yeah.
Well, you can get the data by using the GIS system, looking at the block data, block configuration from the census, too, for the total population, voting age population. Other questions?
Ready to hear from Jim.
Mm-hmm. Before you sit down, would you go over those 4 points again? I noticed Mr. Pierce was writing them down, and a number of us were. The 4 key points of the data that we need, and you know, Mr. Pierce outlined the city council's plan and that. But if you do that again, be sure we've got all the right things that we need to at least start doing.
You're talking about for the Department of Justice pre-clearance?
Yes, sir. I think it'd be good for him to go over that. I noticed you were a lot of us are
every,
right.
And let me make this statement, too. We got some communication about, I guess, 3 or 4 weeks ago from the Justice Department that said, if you present a plan that has retrogression in it, you must present 2 or 3 other plans to show how you try to avoid retrogression. Plus, every plan that you consider has got to go to Justice Department for them to consider why, and you got to explain why you took this plan over that plan. I got one city that's up to 12 plans. I said, y'all going to have a heck of a good time explaining all those. So you have to do that. You have to have total population by race, and that comes out when you draw the plan. You have to have voting age population by race. Those are the two major things from the decennial census. Then you get your registered voters by race, by district, once the districts are configured by. We can do that. They can do that electronically here. And then you got to have voting participation, the results of elections since then. Those are the 4 main criteria. Plus, you got to have this transcript of this public meeting and any other public meetings you have.
Right.
Okay.
I got one county that's had 6 public meetings.
Thank you.
Other one.
Jim, I'm going to let you get
Thank you.
Bobby, thanks for coming.
Thank you very much. Please.
Yeah. Please don't leave yet, though, Bobby. Please. If you will.
Mayor, members of council, Bobby covered well and succinctly the the criteria that we're dealing with and the issues we're dealing with as far as a choice of a plan. Just looking at the numbers from the 2010 census, if an effort were made to draw a 421 plan, I would think that in one of the minority districts at the least, the numbers of the minority population and the minority voting strength would probably drop down between in the mid-30s to maybe 40%. And generally, the Justice Department requires 55%.
So it
would be, as Bobby said, virtually impossible to draw a 421 that would pass review by the Justice Department. If council chooses to change the method of election instead to create more single-member districts so it's more feasible to redistrict and comply with one person, one vote, and the Voting Rights Act, that's called a change in the method of election. And under state law, that requires, as was pointed out, a referendum for the people to vote on that. And there can only be one question on the ballot, as was happened in 2002.
That's right.
So, and if it doesn't pass, there's the option of drawing the best 421 plan possible, complying with the law, submitting it, and seeing what Justice Department, what its view of the plan is with the information that the referendum failed. There are other possible options at that point, but I think they would be overly complicating the explanation to get into those at this point. Yes, sir.
Let me ask you a question. Everybody's talking about this one person, one vote.
Right.
Could you elaborate on that?
Right.
I don't understand what the difference is. I mean, you know, do you vote for one for the mayor, one for your councilman?
No,
do you
sir.
Vote for, you know, what is it
right.
that they're really looking at?
Right. The 14th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution has been interpreted to mean that any election system that elects people by districts has to be structured so that the weight of one person's vote in one district is roughly equivalent to the weight of a person's vote in another district. In the current 421 plan of the city of Aiken, under the 2010 census, the voters of District 4 are underweighted because it's so populated. So they have less of ability to influence their council member, and his vote is worth less than your votes. So it has to do with the number of people in each district. And Bobby and I may not agree 100% on the population deviation as to how wide the deviation can be. There's no question it has to be under 10%, as he explained. And the farther you're within 10%, the better off you are in avoiding any lawsuits. Based on the one person, one vote constitutional provision. So that's an explanation of that. Getting back to the choices you have before you, in addition to which type of plan to develop, whether to call a referendum, the next decision, and the referendum would be on a changing to a 6-1 plan. If that passed, then council would start drawing a plan, a specific plan, that once you agreed on a 6-1 plan, that would be six single-member districts and the mayor elected at large. Once you agreed on a plan and adopted that by ordinance, then that specific map and plan would be submitted to the Justice Department for preclearance, as Bobby explained. And we've been fortunate that in the past submissions for the city of Aiken, we've never had them come back and ask for more information. We've been able to put together complete packages and includes everything Bobby has mentioned. Plus, we read the federal regulations that set out the contents, and we go through it and double check. And the objective really is to give them more than they asked for.
That's right.
So they can't come back and say, oh, you forgot so-and-so. Well, we said we gave you everything, and we gave you more than the minimum. So that's how we handle that. That's the steps that we have to go through to get to a plan that can be implemented. So that gives rise to the question of when you implement the plan. That is, you actually have the first elections under it. And we've talked before among council that the options are One, to delay the scheduled 2011 elections by adopting an ordinance to delay it, which then has to be pre-cleared by Justice Department. If you get to that point, then you have a period of time where you engage in your redistricting efforts. And once you get to a plan that council can agree on and it is adopted by ordinance and approved by Justice Department, then you implement. It probably would take at least 6 months past the November 8th election to accomplish that if council chose to delay the election. The other option is to proceed with the election. And I would say that the state law on implementing a new method of election says that the method of election shall be implemented at the next general election for the municipality. The next general election for Aiken will be in 2013. So what would have to be done if you decide not to delay the election, go ahead and have the 2000 election for mayor and districts 1 and 3, I believe.
That's correct.
And then those people would begin to serve. It's possible there is some chance of challenges by lawsuits to that timing. However, the same thing was done after the 2000 census. The due plan was not implemented until 2003.
That's right.
So the one thing that approach may cause, and really under either plan, either approach, whether delaying the elections or proceeding with the elections in November, it may cause the need to adjust the terms of various council members so that you stay on a schedule where you have 2 to 3 elected every 2 years for 4-year terms. So it could possibly result in somebody's term being 2 years rather than 4 years. Okay, but I just wanted to minimize that disruption.
Yeah, and if I could just interject at this point, it sounds from the presentation tonight that really it's the District 4 with the excessive growth, and that seat comes up in 2013. So is it a fair statement to say it would be critical to have a plan in place by that election?
Yes, I would agree with that. And
Mr. Holly,
yes.
One other thing. When you were describing this process to us, you said that, it sounds as though to me that if we were to submit to the Department of Justice a 6-1 plan, getting their approval to hold the referendum, do we not at that time have to submit where the lines would be?
No, sir.
So then when the referendum is held, the citizens of Aiken are voting on a 6-1 system of government without knowing where the lines would be drawn.
That's correct, but even once it's adopted, it can be changed, I believe, every 2 years. So okay. Even if you have a plan drawn a certain way in 2013, for example, or 2011, 2013, it could be redrawn 2 years after that if council decided to do that.
That's a question I just asked earlier, and he said no.
I don't know if you asked me or not.
No, I didn't.
Okay. Could redraw existing. No, you can redraw it, but you have to use the 2010 census data to redraw it, and you have to get Justice Department preclearance. But you can move a city can move district lines if it chooses to for some reason. But you have to use the 2010 census and get Justice Department approval.
Let me ask you a question. Going back a little bit, the term you used was declensions. Is this now, if you divide the number of voting age people equally by 6, it's 39-54 if we went to a 6th district. Now, the deviation is from 39-54. I didn't understand.
If that's the mean, the deviation would be calculated from whatever the mean.
No, that's the average.
That's the average of the mean. The mean is the average.
Well, sometimes, yeah.
No, just the term. You got mean, median, and mode. The mean is the average when you're talking about dividing by 6. So then you'd be looking at that number plus or minus the percentage.
And that has to be less than 10.
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay.
We did just get, I think, yesterday from Mr. Bowers, we call it a sample 6-1 plan.
That's why I said there's no pride of authorship.
Yeah.
We just want to see if it can be done.
Yeah, and the main reason, or one of the main reasons, is just to show a sample. We don't have any numbers to go along with it. that we have with us, but Bobby's staff drew it to comply with all the applicable criteria and to see how that affected the sitting council members where they live. And before I do that, let me just make sure the audience knows that they picked up. Did they have copies of these?
We have that available out in the
It has in it Mr. Pierce's memo. It has in it the benchmark numbers applying 2010 census data to the current 421 plan. On the screen and in your material is a copy of the 421 plan. And then there's a proposed schedule, and this is just a sample of a schedule that can be followed if council decides to go one way or another. So we have...
Yeah, before you show that, can I have a couple of other questions?
Yes, sir.
Earlier in your presentation, you said that if we put a 6-1 item on the ballot, that it has to, the ballot can only have one item on the ballot. And we're talking about putting the 6-1, and we're talking about having an election on the same ballot.
Yes. If council leaves the election schedule as is, on November 8th, I think is the correct day, there will be election for mayor and two members of council, districts 1 and 3, or two seats on council under the existing 421 plan. At the same election, if that's what council so chooses, there'd be a referendum question: should the districting plan for the city of Aiken be revised from 421 to a 6-1, and with implementation in 2013?
And that's okay to do? Can only have one question. You can't have multiple questions on a referendum, but you can have the referendum along with the general election.
Correct.
Okay. And you mentioned that if we ask the Justice Department for permission to put a 6-1 item on the ballot, that they generally have 60 days and that they make a good faith effort to come back in 60 days and say yay or nay or ask more questions. But if they come back and say yes, and we actually do a 6-1 and send it to them, you said it would take them then 6 months.
No, if council wants to implement if the 6-1 plan passes the referendum and council wishes to implement it earlier than 2013, we would have to, the council with the aid of Mr. Bowers and the staff would have to draw up the 6-1 plan on which they agree. There could be multiple variations of a 6-1 plan. And it would have to choose the one it wants, council. I probably have a public hearing, then go through the ordinance process. Once that's passed, and that would take, I would expect, a couple of months to accomplish that. Then submit it to the Justice Department. It would take about 2 weeks to get all the information together. And then they would have approximately 2 months to review it. So that you're looking at, that's 4.5 months approximately.
Okay, that's how you get it here.
Come
okay.
up with 6 months. I err on the side of giving more time, and I think that's obvious why.
And one more question on this changing. As you said, if we adopt the 6-1, that we could then change it in a couple of years, and then the comment was made that it has to be based on the 2010 census numbers. Well, the 2010 census numbers are just about out of date a week after we got them because of changes that are natural changes in the city. So, I mean, we couldn't use the 2010 numbers to make any adjustments beyond.
Legally you can. Whether it's practical is another question.
So we could have gone back and changed our districts with based on the growth in population at Woodside?
Well, I think I think as a legal matter, it's possible. Whether it would, I've never heard it being done.
Okay.
And I think Bobby may know of one situation where it didn't work. But again, you'd have to comply. Then you would have to, of course, at that earlier time, comply with all the requirements, including the Voting Rights Act, which under the 421 plan, it would have been very difficult to do. It probably would have hastened the day when you change from the 421 to something else. It would have been the result of that.
And the sixth one that you're going to show us, is that reasonably close? I mean,
I'll let Mr. Bowers.
Like I said, there's no pride of officeship. What we were trying to see if we could meet the constitutional requirement of one person, one vote, near equality, and bring the minority population where there would be no retrogression, and try to keep it as contiguous as possible with what you've got, which costs woods and everything else, and yet it's not incorporated. And try to be sure that we can separate the six incumbents. We have accomplished all three of those. We have a total deviation on that plan. I'll tell you in a minute.
And do you have copies for us with maps and stuff?
Pass them up right now.
Oh, good. Super.
I think we have a copy of the map.
But no streets.
Numbers.
Yeah. Right.
We have a total deviation. The largest negative deviation is 1.63%. And the largest positive is 1.69%. So you got a deviation of 3.32%, which is well under the 5%. District 1 has a minority, a percent non-Hispanic black of 62.77, with a voting age of 58.85. District 2 has a non-Hispanic black population of 65.91, with a non-Hispanic voting age population of 62.03. So both of those districts, which would be required to go to justice department, would avoid any hint of retrogression from your present plan. And as I said, the six council persons are separated. Deviation is slightly over 3%. So I don't think it'd be a problem getting that plan approved if that one or one variation of that, and I would expect that to happen. I would expect you, if you look at a map of that, to have some criteria you want to change.
Is that in a plan format similar to what you gave Charleston? You gave them a plan A and a plan B. Is it in the same format?
Yeah, I gave them several plans, and their staff drew several plans up.
It took a while to settle on one, didn't they? Well, is that available to us to look at?
Yeah. If I don't think it'd be a need to do so until you decide whether to go on the referendum or not. I mean, I think if you spent time right now to give a bunch of alternatives until you decided whether you're going to go with the 6-1 plan or not.
Well, my sense is that we're going to ask the people to vote on a city council organization plan that's going to significantly reduce their power to affect the council makeup, because they're right now they affect 4 of the 7 votes, and we're going to ask them now to change, and they're only going to affect 2 of the 7. So I kind of sense that we ought to give them as much data as we can.
That's called redistricting.
Yes, it is, but...
We're under a lot of restraint on that.
Yes, sure.
Just the problem to the Constitution.
But it's still a vote that people have to make, and what I'm saying is I think we can't give them too much information.
But you need to be sure the population understands the restraint that you're under at the same time.
That's right. Absolutely.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes, Jim.
Council, we've given you a copy of this sample plan, and it's on the screen also. The one on the screen has streets on it, but when it prints out, the streets aren't on the copies you have, but the streets are on the screen, and they show red dots or another color of the existing councilmen, and they're all separated into districts 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. And just for, if I may, since we have the public here,
sure.
Just a very
sure.
quick history of the 421 plan.
Certainly.
Prior to 1987, the city had all council members and the mayor elected at large. In a year or two before 1987, the United States Department of Justice filed a lawsuit against the city under Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act, saying that the existing system we had at large was a violation of the Voting Rights Act and the Constitution, because it did not allow our minority population, which was around 33%, 34%, to be able to have a fair opportunity to elect candidates of their choice. Through a settlement with the Department of Justice, the council devised and implemented the 421 plan. I think during negotiations with the Justice Department, we made a few changes in it, but it was approved by the court and pre-cleared by Justice. After the 1990 census, we redistricted the 421 plan to comply with one person, one vote in the Voting Rights Act. That was pre-cleared by Justice. And after the 2000 census, we redistricted the 421 plan, and It was pre-cleared by Justice, and it was a close call. Back, as the mayor may remember, whether Justice would pre-clear it, and the 5-1-1 referendum did fail back in 2002, so we submitted the 4-2-1 plan. But those numbers, the numbers for the minority populations and voting age populations in districts 1 and 2 were well over 50%, and that's the reason that Justice, in my opinion, pre-cleared it. As it stands now, under the existing plan, I think Bobby indicated, I think the numbers are of the existing 4-2-1 plan are good, are strong enough to get us through one more election cycle, but not beyond that, because they're one district is under. They're very, both close to 50%, and one has a minority voting age population under 50%.
47%.
Now, again, what I'm saying, that's under the existing plan, but that existing plan has concerns about complying with the one-person, one-vote requirement, so it does have to be changed. The question is the timing, and I think it's feasible to go through one more election cycle, assuming there are no lawsuits concerning it.
Hey, Jim.
One of the reasons we don't have a plan, 4-2-1 plan to show you, I told Jim I'm not coming over here because I can protect one minority district and one of them's going to be local. I'm not going to make a decision which one I'm going to protect. If I have to do that, I'm going to bring a plan for Leslie and a plan for Beverly and let council make that decision.
Jim, Jim, I want to make sure I understood what you said.
Yes.
I thought we'd been talking before that it was very unlikely that a 4-2-1 would pass. Are you saying that you think it could go through one more election cycle?
No. I think rather than delaying the 2011 election until a new plan is implemented, I think under the existing numbers we have as far as minority population, it would not be a significant risk of litigation to have the 2011 election take place with the existing 4-2-1 plan as far as the Voting Rights Act. But there is a risk of a one-person, one-vote challenge of the 4-2-1 plan in the if it's used for the 2011 election.
I'm going to one city, I won't call it Maine, one city is 185%.
We have to redistrict, in my opinion, to comply with one person, one vote. Mm-hmm. The timing on that is delay the election in 11 and redistrict, or go ahead with the election with the expectation there, and hope there will be no lawsuit. But when we do redistrict, there's no question that it's going to be, in our judgment, virtually impossible to continue the 4-2-1 plan and comply with the Voting Rights Act and get pre-clearance.
Jim, would you explain what the 4-2-1 plan is? I don't think.
Right. Sure. The 4-2-1 plan has the mayor is the one. He's elected at large, and that's permitted under the Voting Rights Act. Then there are two members who are elected by all the voters of the city. Those are under the two. Mm-hmm. And then there are four single-member districts in which the voters of that district elect their council person from that district. And each of the four members who are representing single-member districts have to live and reside in those districts. Yes. Mr. Mayor, my comments in response to your question were just getting past the 2011 election, not beyond that.
Yeah, it just seems to me, and I have an opinion on this thing, sure. But I'm not going to voice it because we want to hear from others too. But if it appears that we're going to have a problem with 4-2-1, why don't we just go to whatever it takes, 6-1, and know that it's the right thing to do. I'm in favor of keeping the two minority districts. I'll say that right now. I think we need it. And I think it can be worked out with the 6-1, personally. Now, isn't Justice going to look at this thing and say the same thing if we submit something less than that? No. Their eyes are going to be on this, and going from the two that we have now, two minority districts, and that would give us two.
And then we submit something that, who knows whether 30% is going to elect a minority or not.
No, Mr. Mayor, if I may respond.
Sure.
The assuming council votes to have a referendum on a 6-1 plan, that's what we submit to justice. Just that one question, the ordinance that says the council has called for a referendum election on November 8, 2011 on the single question of whether the council members of the city of Aiken, other than mayor, should be elected under the 421 plan or be changed to a 6-1 plan. That's all they're looking at. Now, we would give them data to show that a 6-1 plan would, any 6-1 plan we draw basically, would certainly preserve the minority districts. And they would know that, and most likely they would pre-clear the referendum. Right. And so, and we may even get it pre-cleared in 45 days or so, and then have your election on November 8th.
To then, continue with the 421?
No. 6-1.
It would be 6-1.
Whether to go to 6-1. Assuming that passes, then you develop the actual, on a map, 6-1 plan with numbers and statistics and yeah, district lines, and then that's submitted to the Justice Department for preclearance. So,
I understand that for the 6-1.
Right, correct.
I thought you were, never mind.
No, I was, the question is the timing, whether you implement whatever new plan you have in November as soon as possible, or during the 2013 city general election.
Look, my understanding was to go from a 421 to a 6-1, we have to have a referendum.
Right.
What you're suggesting is, can we have a referendum out of the voting cycle, like sometime in July or August, with a 6-1 plan, and then just up or down in November 8th, we vote for 6-1 or not?
Yeah. If I follow your logic, it would take, if council wants to have a referendum before,
yes,
November 8th, you have to go ahead and pass an ordinance, and that would take two readings. And of course, you can do that in a short time frame. I think it's a couple of weeks, perhaps, mm-hmm, if that's what council decides. It would take about a week to get the material together to submit to the Justice Department, and then once they have it, they have 60 days. So if you start at the next council meeting, which is
June 13th,
by the end of June, you would have it passed and submitted to justice in early June. Then you have July and August. So you could have an election sometime in August, possibly, and the results of that. Then you would have to come up with an ordinance devising the 6-1 plan. Again, that probably is going to take a little bit longer to do. It'd probably take at least a month or perhaps more to do that. And so you're in the October time frame, and then you still have to submit it to justice and have 60 days to review it. So the election would have to be delayed. And the other consideration, and I just say it's a consideration, mm-hmm, is generally the turnout for a referendum is much better during a general election than on another date.
Yeah, I think the vote that we did in 2002 was sometime over the summer, and we only had 1,100 people vote.
It was in April. April of 2003.
Yeah, I thought it was summertime.
It was a very low turnout.
Was there any more questions, or y'all heard enough from the experts?
Yes, sir. Before we, sure want to hear from the citizens and the public for sure. We sit here today. How do we? And I don't know if I direct it to the city attorney or the city manager, or Mr. Holly, or who. But how do we move forward from today's meeting?
I think tonight, Mr. Edmund, you want to get the public input.
That's right.
And then, depending on the sense of council tonight, we can develop an ordinance for consideration at the June 13th meeting. And of course, it's an ordinance that's required, so that is two readings. But as we are currently positioned, you could have that first reading of the ordinance on June 13th. That has a public comment period. Then you could have a second reading at June 27th that on the ordinance,
right?
And you would have a public input session then, and that would give you something to submit to the Department of Justice, in July.
At the April 11th meeting, we approved a a voting schedule for the current election. Does that just stay in force unless we retract it, we the council, I'm saying? So that stays in force, and then we obviously need to go down the next path. But I guess my main point is we're going to stay with the 2011 three members of council election, just like it stands, right?
You certainly can.
Can.
That's available to council.
I guess I'll rephrase my question. How can we get to the can?
If council decides, based on the public input that you get tonight, to proceed with an ordinance, that ordinance can proceed to pre-clearance approval. Right. And then you have an ordinance for the election schedule that, you know, depending if things march along according to the proposed schedule that we have. And I think it pretty much followed schedule when we did this back in 2003, as I recall, Jim. You know, you're kind of marching along in tandem.
They go together.
Right.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Let's get some, thank you, gentlemen, for right now. Let's get some comments from our public. We certainly want to do that. I want to recognize two of our members of the legislature, though. Bill Clyburn is here with us. And Tom Young came in. Tom, thank you for being with us. I don't think there's any others, are there? If not. Okay, I tell you what let's do. Let's, if we can, depending on how many people want to talk, let's try to hold it to about 5 minutes or no longer, if you can, your thoughts, and then we'll see where we go, how many people we have speaking. And why don't we just start over this side, and we'll go around and come back on this side. Okay? So who would like to speak over going aisle to aisle by aisle? Who would like to speak on this first? Ann, okay.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I understand all that you all have said tonight, and that the...
Could you just put your name in the letter,
just give
please.
Us your name, please.
My name is Ann Wilbrand. I live at 2057 Dibble Road in Aiken. And I understand what you've talked about the numbers, and I'm not going to discuss that. My purpose in speaking is a little bit more to talk about how the redistricting affects my relationship as a voter to you, our elected officials, and your relationship back to us, the citizens. I'm a 26-year resident of Aiken, and I've seen an awful lot of growth and changes in our city in that time. The conversion from the city council with the all-at-large districts to the 421 plan did occur shortly after I moved here, and it appears to have served its purpose as an organizing structure for many years. However, at this juncture, I think it is time for the council to consider what structures will best serve the residents as Aiken grows over the next decade and beyond. The main issues that are most important to me as you consider this reapportionment is to look at the future, and you look to the future, are the accessibility of our council members, their understanding of the issues affecting their districts, and the accountability of the council members to the voters. As I compare the population projections for the 421 plan versus the 61 plan, I see clear advantages of the 61 plan. My understanding is there would be approximately 7,400 residents in the four existing districts of the 421 plan versus about 5,000 in each of the six single-member districts. Smaller compact districts means that each council member will live in the district that they represent and have a greater opportunity to know their constituents who are also their neighbors. Smaller districts are also more likely to exist as communities of common interests. Council members in these smaller districts are more likely to understand the local impact of the issues that directly affect their district and to be able to effectively articulate their constituents' views because they will be affected as well. I see this as being particularly important when considering matters such as zoning and annexation, which I know you deal with a good bit of your time. We will always have a mayor who represents the whole city and has the city's interests at heart. Having other at-large members seems to duplicate that role of the mayor. The 421 system also has the potential to significantly skew the representation of the council to favor some parts of the city over others. Right now, it's conceivable that as many as 4 members of council could live within the same neighborhood or development if the mayor, both at-large members, and the district member all lived in the same area. This is not a hypothetical scenario because it has happened before. Mr. Mayor, I know you remember this. About 20 years ago, the mayor, when Mr. Kavanaugh was first elected, the district council member and an at-large member all lived in my neighborhood within blocks of each other. While it may have been good for our side of town, I'm not convinced that it provided the best representation for everybody else in the city. Smaller districts, the voters are more likely to know their council member. That elected official is more likely to be held accountable for their votes. When controversial issues arise now, the district representatives generally get feedback first from their constituents before the at-large representatives are contacted. With single-member districts, which we would have in the 6-1 plan, accountability will happen not just on election day, but throughout the term of all council members. We all know that single-member districts are now the norm in most communities. If we convert to this plan now, we won't have to debate about our council structure in the future. We know that the Justice Department will not take issue with it as long as the lines are drawn to give fair representation to all communities. During future reapportionments, our main task will be to adjust the boundaries to account for the population changes. We have an opportunity to restructure council now to provide the most accessible and equitable representation for everyone in Aiken, and I hope you will take advantage of this opportunity to move Aiken forward and vote for the 6-1 plan. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Anna. Who would like to speak next? Okay, we'll go on around. Anybody in the back there like to speak? Okay.
Either.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Welcome.
My name is Robert Conway.
Robert.
I just have a comment to make concerning the statistics which we've been given. I've attended other meetings, received other statistics. However, I noted that there's no legend. Because there's no legend on the form, it causes some concern, plus causes me to guess what the information here is developed to mean. So my suggestion is, when we get these statistic forms, there should be a legend to help us so that we won't make late night phone calls. Thank you very much.
Yeah, we could do that later.
Yes.
Thank
you, Robert.
Great suggestion. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Who's next? Yes, ma'am.
Ms. Rucker.
Mr. Mayor, members of council, my name is Betty Rucker, and I stand before you as a resident who lives in the city limits of Aiken in the Mallet Lake Division. I also stand here tonight because I've gotten 3 texts from my husband. Today is our anniversary, and he's wondering where his dinner date is.
Ms. Rucker, I don't think you're the only person celebrating an anniversary today. Is that right?
That's correct.
Who else is celebrating?
Leslie and William Price.
Oh, okay.
And we're happy you came to our anniversary party. He's sitting in the back. 45 years, so we're quite thrilled.
I just want to say 2 things. I've lived here in Aiken for 31 years. relocated here from Rock Hill, South Carolina, and promised my mother that after I had been here for 20 years, I was going to claim Aiken as my hometown, and I've done that. I'd like to say that I've been very proud of the representation that we've received, not only from Leslie and Beverly, but all of the council members since I've been here. I also like to say that I thoroughly have enjoyed your serving as our mayor. I just want to go on record saying that I came tonight, I stood up my dinner date, just to let the city of Aiken know that we have two council members who I can relate to for obvious reasons, and I would like the council to continue to do what you can to make sure that we keep those two seats for our community and neighborhood. I commend you. I know that it is not an easy task to do what you do for the residents here in Aiken. I bid you guys speed and want you all to know that you continue to do what you're doing in the line of justice for all, and we all will continue to be glad to call ourselves citizens of Aiken. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Betty, and congratulations again on your anniversary. And Leslie, too.
Thank you.
And Bill. Thank you. Who's next? Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
My name is Ann Dix, and I stay at 314 Jehoshaphat Drive, Aiken, South Carolina. Mr. Bowers, the question I'd have for you is, in the 6-1 district plan, you gave the percentages of minorities in 1 and 2. Could I have that for the rest of them? Did you do it? Okay, that was... I'm a numbers person, so I like to...
That's right.
The minority population in District 3 is 15.10%. District 4 is 13.53%. District 5 is 6%. And District 6 is 7.52%.
Mr. Bowers, could you give us number 1 and 2 again?
1 is 62.77. And let me give you another figure with that one. That has a voting age population of 58.85. 2 is 65.91 with a voting age population of 62.03. For the legend, let me just say that all the numbers, and we don't put this on here because all numbers are based on the 2010 decennial census official count as adopted by the state.
Yes, sir.
Could we get this information written
yes,
down?
Yes, we'll get it and disseminate it. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Anyone else like to speak? Okay.
Jane Page Thompson, 240 Knox Avenue, and you're going to be surprised I hadn't planned on speaking tonight. But in hearing some of the concerns that you're going to have to present to DOJ, it seems that to have uncertainty in the district locations from 2011 to 2013 and possibly on by having a delay or by withholding that district manipulation lines would mean that recruiting good candidates to run for office would be difficult. And since that's one of the criteria that DOJ is looking at is how many candidates have run against you, no wonder it's hard to get candidates to run when they don't know where the district lines are going to fall. So that seems like a catch-22, and the Department of Justice dictates in this process. So I certainly hope that for 2011, since people who might be thinking about running for office might have already started thinking about it, that you at least keep that election clean so that if possible candidates are already investing in that process, that you don't thwart those efforts, because we may have a great candidate show up that changes the whole demographic of everything, like Tim Scott did for Charleston in the congressional election. While I understand the Voting Rights Act of 1965 ensures that participation of historic protected classes of ethnicity and race be protected, it is clear that since males in both of those classes were given the right to vote over 50 years prior to women, that maybe the Department of Justice should have considered women as a minority class, and then that way we wouldn't be having this debate. We have two great women council members, and if they were a protected class, their seats would be protected. So if you do get to make a point to the Department of Justice, I hope that women and protecting the seats that women hold becomes an issue for the future, because I think we've been served well by the ladies of council. With the 421, it seems that the voters have more input in the process, and that every elected official, once elected, is responsible for all their constituencies. And so therefore, I believe in a 421 process, you actually get more representation. Councilman Dewar and I do not agree 100% of the time. I am fortunate enough that if I don't agree with him, I have the two at-large gentlemen I can call upon, which I do, and Mr. Mayor, I can call you. With a 6-1 system, I'm forced to have to agree with my councilman most of the time, or I don't get to call on anybody else. And that bothers me in the long term, because I look at what we have as problems within our school district right now in the county of Aiken. We have a system that's very similar to a 6-1 system. And if your school board representative doesn't answer your phone calls, doesn't reply to your emails, or doesn't talk to you, and you try and then go to that school board and they are non-responsive to you as well, you as a voter are lost. You have no representation. And I would hate to see the great work of Aiken City Council be lost because of lack of input from citizens, because they got deterred because they didn't agree with that one person that represented them. So therefore, I do question whether the 6-1 system is going to be conducive to the management style that the City of Aiken has adopted and has been so successful with over the years. I encourage council to maintain the 2011 elections for Councilwoman Price, Councilman Dewar, and the mayor, in order to maintain some continuity.
It's because actually Ms. Clyburn.
I'm sorry, Ms. Clyburn. So my mistake, Ms. Clyburn, Mr. Dewar, and the mayor, because I do believe that that is something I'm sure all of you all have been sort of machinating about this already, because that filing is only, 65 days away or something. So I believe that that should, in all due fairness to those three members of council, that should be maintained. And then let's look at 2013 with that general election as the time to do any sort of procedural election, because I do remember opening a poll back in 2003, and I got there at 6 o'clock in the morning, and I got back to the elections office at Stewart, whatever time that was, and remember, I had nobody show up to vote at my precinct. So I would hate to see us go through that if we didn't put it on a general election. I think it's great to have it on a general election date. So 2013, I hope you'll maintain as your target date. Thank you.
Thank you, Jane Payne. Yeah, okay.
Mr. Mayor, let me just say that for those of us who've been on council for a while, that I think what most citizens actually do is that they don't just call their district representative. They call 7 people when they start calling, and they really know that all of us have to vote on everything. So I think for those who do a lot of calling know that they need to contact each and every single member of council. So I don't know that that's important that we consider that you would have more people to call, because I think right now they do call. So I get calls from people in District 1, but I get calls from District 2, 3, 4. And you have to treat those calls as if they're citizens of the City of Aiken, which they are. And so we all are cognizant of the fact that we do get calls from outside of our districts, and that doesn't bother any of us.
Beverly, I agree with you on that. When I was first elected, of course, I was in a district, and I felt like that I was
I was there for the whole city. I never felt like it was just my district, you know, or I could only speak to those people in the district or anything like that. I kind of looked out, still looked out over what's happening in the whole city. And I know many of us do that, but I think all of us do that. We're always looking at what's going on, not just in our area of a district. We're looking all over the city as to what maybe we can improve or tell somebody about this or that. So I think, Dane Page, I don't disagree with you totally, but I think we're still small enough in Aiken that we all have pride in the whole city, and I really believe that unlike some huge city, I think we all care about our city and are ready to answer questions. And I know that we all get questions from various people. It doesn't matter whether you're in their district or not. So I personally don't see that as a problem. And maybe you've had some problems, or maybe some others have. But I bet you no one's turned you down when you've talked to them.
And I just know that you all are not always going to be in these chairs. And yeah, looking to the future, being a few years younger than all of you, I have to think about the long term and not the short term. And I believe that that's something that concerns me, especially with the way the school board treats constituents. They won't talk to you. They're not going to.
Yeah. Well, there are some differences, I think, there.
Vote against them.
Representative Clyburn, I understand you'd like to say a few words, sir, and you certainly may. And anyone else, too. We can, if someone wants to say something you've heard about, you feel free to raise your hand.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, I do have a couple of questions, and then, of course, I want to make a statement. But let me just reiterate, I really appreciate the quality of your leadership and the representation that we've gotten from council overall. And I think all of us that live in Aiken and have been here can appreciate that. Now, let me say that I'm not going to question Bobby Bowers on anything when it comes to redistricting. He is just one of the best in the country, and
amen.
We're very proud of him. So I'm not going to question him, but there are a couple of concerns that I have. But the first thing is that I think it needs to be understood that the relationship among our citizens in Aiken has been very good, and this is one of the reasons why there was no problem with annexation. There was no problem with it because of the representation that we've been getting and the fairness that we had been receiving. I would like to know why we cannot have the election as scheduled based on the 2010 census. And the reason why I think that should happen is because based on my experience with the Justice Department, they're going to really have some concerns about the city not being ready, because some cities have done it, you know, with the 2010 census, and they're ready to move forward. And I think we're good enough to do that. And the reason why I would like to see move forward is because I think the longer we tarry around with this issue, the more problems it's going to cause. And I don't want to see that kind of dichotomy in the city. We are a pre-clearance state, not a fault of those who are to be protected, and that's unfortunate. But there are some states that are not pre-clearance states. And the reason being is because they have followed through on what they were supposed to do. And now if the city of Aiken were a state, we would not be a pre-clearance state because of the things that we have done. And so the biggest question I want to put forward, and that is, is it any way possible that the election could be held based on the 2010 census on a different type of system?
You're talking about Bill going to a 6-1 and still being on time?
Right. I have not dealt with the numbers yet, but just logically thinking, a 6-1 will give you approximately what you have right now. And what you have right now, based on some of the testimonies I've heard, has been very effective.
Yeah, I can right. speak to that. The answer is no. We needed to have our stuff mailed yesterday. We got a late start. Don't know why, but the city of Charleston had 12 districts. Yeah. They got the job done, and their package is in the mail. But we just didn't get started early enough. And I don't think there's any way that we could do it now in time for November 8 election. I mean, we've given up because we got started so late.
The other option is to move the election date if you wanted to move the election date.
Yeah.
But one of my concerns is...
go ahead.
What if despite our best efforts, you know, we propose a 6-1, but it doesn't get approved prior to the November 8th election? We're going to run into a lot of problems about terms. You know, if we go through the 4-2-1, if we have Mr. Dewar and Ms. Clyburn and the mayor running for election, assuming that they get reelected, what about the Department of Justice is going to come back on us in February and say your election was invalid?
No,
I wouldn't do that.
Okay.
That's my point. In 1992, when I ran, although I won, the Justice Department found something, Mr. Bowles, that you mentioned earlier, and we had to run the election over for the House of Representatives. And then after I ran, then they found something else, and I had to run again. So I ran three times in 2 years. And that's the kind of thing that you don't want to run into in the city.
That's what I'm afraid.
The thing you've heard in the presentations, though, Mr. Homoke, and of course Mr. Bowers and Mr. Holly can speak to that, is that the Department of Justice is going to just review proposed change. If you go under the existing plan, you know, they're not going to say, wait a minute, you did something that was illegal. But they only pre-clear changes to your existing plan.
But we're subject to a challenge, a one, you know, one man, but one
Mr.
vote challenge,
to,
right?
Mr. Holly can speak to that.
That's right.
I mean, because if we're not subject to challenge, then let's just go with a 4-2-1 election and change it 6-1 at our leisure, and then the next election of 2013 or whatever, we do a 6-1.
And you're right, that is an option. If council decides to continue on the current election schedule for 1 and 3 and the mayor for November 8th, 2011, there's no change in the election system that triggers voting rights preclearance by the Justice Department.
Okay.
The Justice Department can sue any covered jurisdiction under what's called Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act and try to show intentional, purposeful discrimination. And I don't know that they could prove that. I don't think they could in this situation. And I don't think they would be eager to sue a city who's moving to all single-member districts, which is what they want. So the chances of them suing, I think, are very minimal. I'm not going to stand here and guarantee it's not going to happen. But I don't think it would happen. Also, Councilman Clyburn, her district now has an excess of 50% minority population. I've got the numbers over here. And a little over 48% minority voting age population,
right,
which are not the best numbers, but they're fairly good. So I think they would look at that too. So considering all those facts, I don't think the Justice Department would come in and file what's called a Section 2 lawsuit. There is a risk somebody may sue under the one person, one vote to with respect to the 4-2-1 plan in the November election. However, the seats that are up are actually overrepresented because they're smaller. So their votes count more because they're fewer citizens in those districts. It's a calculated risk, and it worked in 2000. It seems reasonable it would work after the 2010 census, but there are risks with it. And that's what council has to decide. The implementation may be the tougher decision and how to handle that.
Jim, has any folks moved the election date to meet the requirements of this?
It does happen, but that would have to be pre-cleared by Justice, and it has happened. With respect to the other cities that have been successful in redistricting earlier, none of those change their method of election, I don't believe. And that's what takes so much time, because state law restricts when you it restricts apologize, I'm hearing something. Lost my train of thought. State law restricts how you do some of this. And again, the state law on the referendum says, the state law, not the federal law, the state law says you implement in the next general election. Well, if you delay the election and you redistrict, somebody could sue you for violating state law because you're having the election early, not as where it's scheduled under state law.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think if you go the route of wanting to delay the election, I think in addition to council passing an ordinance, I may suggest that we have what's called a friendly lawsuit and get a judge to order that it's okay to delay the election so that you're not out of compliance with state law. I hope that was a sufficient answer. Those are the two options that I mentioned earlier today, and either one has complications to it.
One last question. Assuming we go through the election in November as it is right now, and we get a 6-1 plan approved, let's say it's approved sometime next spring, all of a sudden there's going to be people, I mean, do we have to have a representative for District 5 and District 6, which are really non-existent right now? How does that work? Do you have to have one right now, or does it just go in effect in 2013 when vote again?
I apologize, I haven't thought that through entirely, but I think what you would do the first election cycle is that the two members who are scheduled, the individuals that are scheduled now for election on the 421 plan, have elections for them wherever their districts may be, and then the two new districts, and maybe schedule it that way. So you would have the 2013, you'd have four people up for election.
Mm-hmm.
The two districts, the two city council members who are in new districts, the two new districts, and then I'm not stating that correctly, but the people who would have been up for election anyway,
right?
Those two council members, you have them, the two new council seats, and that would be four. And then in the next election cycle, 2015, you'd have the mayor and districts basically 1 and 3, or what remains of 1 and 3. That's just logically what I would think it would be done.
But those of us running this year would run for 4-year terms.
Under that approach?
It could be. It may be 4, and it may be 2. Yeah, but the method I suggested, you're right. It would be 4.
Okay. And then by the 2013,
right,
the four people who normally would run,
right,
would run, and somehow if Justice Department says okay, and the voters say okay, at what point does the redistricting take effect? Is it when the council approves it?
No, it would be implemented with the election of 2013. From 2013 up to 2015, you in effect be under two systems.
Yeah, but Jane Page made a very important point.
Right.
That is that people need to know,
right,
if they're going to run for office, what their district is, and the voters, right, need to know who's representing them. So, for example, well, let's extrapolate. I'm currently in District 3. If I run in November and get reelected to District 3, I'm in District 3 for 4 years, and looking at this map, I'm bumped out of District 3 and I go over to District 6, which still has part of the people. All of the people in District 6 are people I represented in District 3. But it's important to know when that physically takes effect, because then
we can develop several options for council to look at, assuming 6-1 passes. Yes. This would be the schedule.
It's just something we need to look at downstream.
No, I understand.
Certainly not now.
It can be complicated, even though it's small numbers. It can be complicated. And I think in 2000 census, we were able to keep the elections schedule the same and the seats the same, et cetera. This will be a little bit more challenging.
Well, we did the same thing in 2003 that we're doing now, except that the referendum was held in April instead of the general election.
That's right. That's right. It was off.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Anyone else like to speak? If you decide you want to, you can. Let's see what we can maybe agree to a little bit. It seems to me several things have come up. Number one, I don't think any of us really want to delay the election, if we can at all help it. So that's probably one thing we'd like to do. The 421 has, and the two districts that are up, has relatively high percentage. One is 48, I think, in Beverly's district. Is that what Jim said? I think. What is it?
Yes, 48.74.
Yes, 48,
and the other has what?
52.
So you might reasonably expect that that would be good enough for re-election. At the same time, we could have a referendum going forward, if we so desire, for the 6-1. Now, does that sound reasonable?
Well, I have no objection to putting a 6-1 on the ballot. I'm not sure I would support it based on my comment that I like the idea of voters being able to influence four people in the council as opposed to two. But again, I think if we're going to put it to the people, we need to give them as much information as we can. And, and the map is a good start. I'd like to see the detailed figures people know what they're voting on.
Mayor,
absolutely.
If it would be helpful, Mayor, we could develop an ordinance for your June 13th meeting, and as part of that ordinance packet, have this detailed information and put that out and publish that so the public and council has that information before you vote on the ordinance.
And distribute it to the press as well.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, because they didn't get the numbers that we had until very late, so I'd like to get it to them as quickly.
How about some other thoughts? Any other thoughts on?
I just want to reiterate. I think our best intentions are, no matter what we do, we will not get Department of Justice approval for 6-1 this year. I mean, it's just not
in time for the election.
I think we should proceed with the 4-2-1 with the districts that are up, Ms. Clyburn, Dick, and the mayor's position, and get the approval, and then sometime when the election rolls around in 2013, Ms. Adur takes his District 3 hat off and becomes automatically District 6 representative. Now, I'm not sure if that's legal as far as, do you represent District 6 when you're really not elected by District 6?
But keep in mind, Steve, that all of these changes already represent everybody that I would represent District 6.
In effect, in the ordinance, you would just redesignate the district.
Yeah.
It's a redesignated number.
But all of those people in District 6 I represent now.
Yeah.
I would just be giving a good portion of my district, I guess, to Dawn, looking at the map. I mean, that's assuming it stays as it does.
You really can just renumber the map and put a 6 where the 3 is and a 3 where the 6 is, and you can do the same thing for the 4 and the 5, and you don't have a problem with anything. There's no legal ramification of doing that.
We could call where I'm at 3, because I've had 3. I'm at 3. I could stay at 3.
Rather than 6, and it could be 3.
Yeah. That is such,
that's a good, I like that.
Yeah, that's such an important point, because council adopts a plan. So you want the numbers where you put them, that's where they go.
You don't have to change your billboards.
You don't change the map. You just put the 6 where the 3 is and the 3 where the 6 is, and erase the 4 and put a 5 there.
The one thing the maps don't have is the detail on exactly where it is. I think I have a good sense of where 6-6 is, but Aiken Estates, the horse district that I would be losing.
It might help if Mr. Edwards
stays
at 4 and then move the other.
Well, that's why if we get the data from Mr. Bowers, that because he can break it out into more detail, then we can evaluate it.
Right. How about comments from others, Beverly?
I want to make one comment, and I think it's a cautionary comment, and that is that. We got into this because of annexations, not because people moved into the city as a whole. We got into this because we annexed a lot of property. We did Woodside Phase 1, Woodside Phase 2, Woodside Phase 3, Woodside Phase 4, and it kept going and going and going like an ever-ready bunny. And that's what got us where we are right now, because that's where the growth is. And I don't see the merit in arguing that you want to keep it like it is because you want to have contact with more people. Well, look at what you've got now. Woodside currently has 2 representatives. It has 2 representatives living in it. And I don't know why going to 6-1 would be a problem for anybody, because we have public phone numbers. You call, you write, you come to council members, and you don't stand there and talk just to your representative. You talk to 7 of us. That's not an issue. We have always acted like one council. We vote individually, but we listen with one ear. And I think that we have done well. We have tried to do well, and I think it has worked. We get along, and I think there's no problem with that. I can remember when it was at large, and the same argument was used, that we'll lose the point of fact that we'll have 7 people looking out for us, when in fact, being at large causes you to dilute the amount of attention you can give to a certain area. When I get my agenda packet, it doesn't matter whether it's Walmart on the west side or Deodoro Plantation on the other side. It doesn't matter whether it's north or south. I have to write it and see what it is I have to act on. I have to talk to people that are available to see what it is I have to do. And that's what all of us do. We take care of all of the city's business, but we can only live one place. And that's why we have a district. And so I caution you to not force 1 or 2 people to not allow any future annexations because they're concerned about their district in the next 10 years. Every time we vote on an annexation, the Justice Department calls and they ask, are you aware that you are diluting the votes? And you know, when we do that, we're not thinking about running the next year or 10 years from now. We're thinking about what is best for the city of Aiken. And I ask that you not punish us for that, because it certainly would not feel good.
Let me just add to my colleague's comments that on several occasions when the Justice Department called, we could have easily have said, we see problems with this annexation. It's going to dilute the voting strength of the districts that we represent. But that was not done. It was not about getting or winning the next election, but rather looking at the city as a whole and seeing the population growth. If we had said there was a problem with annexing these areas, and the Justice Department started dragging out an investigation, the people that were in question to be annexed would have been in question in terms of paying taxes in this town. The revenue growth would not have been as it is right now in this town if areas in Woodside had not been annexed. And certainly those were not the things that were on our mind. I think the 6-1 will serve us as well. When the question was asked regarding whether, and I think people automatically assume that because you represent a district, that that's all you hear from. I can tell you without question, and I can bring people in this room from all across the city of Aiken that do not hesitate picking up the phone to call me. And I can, I don't see Larry in here, but I just handed him a problem last week with a problem in Dick DeWar's district that we worked on. So people don't mind calling. And I'm sure that they probably receive calls all across town as well.
Mm-hmm.
They're not looking at who we are, where we're sitting, but rather they're trying to find solutions to their problems, and sometimes they call the people, the person that they feel most familiar with. And I can remember the issues years ago when there was a concern with the 421, the 51, and it was not a good time here. The harmony was not here. And I don't want to see us go back to where people lose lack of trust and lack of faith in our town because of lack of representation. We don't want to, as Bobby Bowers just so eloquently said, go into a regressive state, but rather we want to be progressive in this town. And this town has been extremely progressive, and we've worked very well to maintain good relationships here across the board.
Okay, let me pose a question here. We need to try to resolve something so that our staff can go ahead and produce something for us for next meeting. Do you feel like you want to go ahead with the 421, not holding up the elections, with the understanding that we'd all also have a referendum put together for 6-1 when the time is proper to pose that to the public? And that would be for 2013. Is that right, Jim? I mean, that's...
Yes, sir.
You said it much better than I, but I mean, I'm trying to get key points.
You said it a few words, but it took me 10 paragraphs to say.
He's charged by the paragraph, by the way.
And so the three people that are up for election, at least the two districts, how do you feel about it? Especially you. I guess.
Well, I would agree with what the majority of council says. It sounds like the most expedient way, although it does have a small risk, and it is small, is to have the election as scheduled. I've been peppered, Mr. Bowers, with questions for the last 2 or 3 years, and up until tonight it was always delay the election and redistrict and stay out of trouble. But apparently it seems okay to have the regular election and put the 6-1, and as I've already said my reservations about the 6-1, but I'm fine with that. I'm always comfortable letting the people make the decision.
Right.
Everybody.
All right, so at the next city council meeting, we have one resolution. Is all that'll be on there?
It'll be an ordinance.
And it's an ordinance. Excuse me. There'll be one ordinance with the first reading, which is, in our case, both of ours are public meetings.
That's exactly right. It's an ordinance, so you'll have two meetings, and the ordinance would be to establish the referendum question of whether a 6-1 plan
right.
should be implemented.
And the any mention of the current election just goes away. It's scheduled for August 1st to sign up and so forth and so forth.
That's right, because that, as you pointed out earlier, Mr. Edgar, quite accurately, that's your existing ordinance.
That's
so
correct.
That has not changed. They work
and
in tandem.
And that's going to stay off the agenda for next time.
There wouldn't be any need to put it on.
Okay, thank you.
I'm good.
So if we approve it, the second reading on the 27th, then there you are. You could get that package off the justice rather quickly. Is time important at that point?
Yeah, well, yes, certainly. I think we want to. I would like to have. I think in the schedule, I put about 2 weeks.
That's
the
right.
Draft schedule. I tried to do it sooner than that, but it takes, as Bobby pointed out, compiling a lot of information. And, you know, if you want me to start compiling it before the referendum, I will. But it takes a good bit of time because you have to pull information from the state, from the city, from the newspapers, from the county election commission. So it takes some time to do. And certainly, I'm sure city staff can assist with some of that. But it does take a lot of time to compile it and present it in the right way. And one thing I did in 2000, if you don't mind, short story of 2000 after 2000 census, I put in information about good projects the city was involved in all over the city to help people with housing and things like that. And I think it's important to give them a flavor of our life here and how well we do get along. Because I don't know, they hear that all the time. Mm-hmm. So we try to give them a complete picture of the city and not just numbers and statistics. But this package will be simpler than when we do a 6-1 actual plan and submit it. It'll be much thicker. On the referendum, we won't have to do quite as much work. But I would like to have up to 2 weeks and try to get it done in a week.
Yeah, and that still gives you plenty of time.
Yeah. And we will ask for expedited consideration. Occasionally, the Justice Department does that, and we may get it a response in 45 days rather than 60.
Well, we hope our gold star for 2003 is still shining with them.
Okay. Any other comments from council or audience?
That's what we'll have on the agenda then for
citizens.
June 13th.
Ann, would you like to say
something? Just one very quick comment. When you come up with this 6-1 map, please produce a map that shows the current 421 districts and the 6-1 as an overlay so that the citizens can see exactly where the boundaries are going to change.
We'll do our best.
Good idea.
Yeah, and street names, the legends. But definitely showing before and after on an overlay map so that everyone can see what's going to change.
Good idea.
We'll do our best.
No, just
not do that until you pass that 6-1.
That's right.
Yeah. I didn't do that until I
just a point of order, Mr. Mayor. This is a city council meeting. Do we have to vote to put this on an ordinance?
No
votes.
We're just giving staff a go ahead.
You're telling me what to do, and then I get to go do it.
That's novel.
A vote will come next meeting.
Okay, all right.
What are we going to vote?
Okay.
We'll have an ordinance for a referendum question about changing the districting plan to a 6-1 plan.
When is the can we actually start a 6-1 plan betting on a term, so to speak, that it's going to be passed, or at least have one in the pocket just in case it doesn't get passed?
You mean the design?
Yes.
What we'll do is beef up this one that you have tonight, so we have the street names on it.
Okay. Yeah. Now, when is the referendum supposed to take place?
November 8th.
Oh, it is with the election.
Yeah. November 8th.
Let me just thank everyone for being here and your cooperation and your attentiveness and everything. We really appreciate it. I think we've had a great meeting and gotten some good, very good comments. So thank you so much.
I want to thank Bobby and Jim as well for their time there.
Absolutely.
Great folks.
I want to drive the fast one.
Okay. All right. We adjourn.